Good morning, I'm Donna Quinn, and for the next half hour, you'll be listening to Talk of Our Towns. First, I want to wish all of you a bright and beautiful 2010. Thank you for supporting non-commercial, independent community radio, and in particular, this treasure in the Columbia Pacific region we know as KMUN Coast Radio, coastradio.org. Today, we're going to be talking about another treasure, the treasure, which defines this part of the world. The Great River of the West, the mighty Columbia. There are many fine organizations and people who are engaged in positive projects with the Columbia River. One of these is the Lower Columbia River Estuary Partnership, or Estuary Partnership. They restore ecosystems and species, monitor the health and well-being of the estuary here, reducing toxic and conventional pollution, and they provide educational outreach to a wide range of audiences. The Lower Columbia River Estuary Partnership focuses on the lower 146 miles of the Columbia River. Today we have a phone interview with Estuary Partnership Executive Director Deborah Marriott in Portland. We'll learn more about their important work, past success stories, and ongoing Columbia River challenges. Welcome. Good morning, Deborah.
Good morning, Donna. Thank you for having me.
Very pleased to have you here as well via the phone. Deborah, before we talk about the Lower Columbia River Estuary Partnership, and we'll just say Estuary Partnership for now, please tell us about Deborah Marriott.
Well, thanks, Donna. I arrived back in Portland, back in Oregon, about 15 years ago, having done my graduate work at the University of Oregon a few years before that. And I have been working with the Estuary Partnership since it began in 1995. In my work in the state of Maine, I had the opportunity to work in the Environmental Regulatory Agency for the state, working with the governor, focused there on some air quality issues and some water quality issues related to mercury and a lot of land development work. So it's been a great background to bring me to the Northwest and to this particular job.
And as executive director of the Estuary Partnership, you're based there, you have a board of directors, you're a nonprofit. Tell me the overarching mission and, why does the partnership exist? How did it come into being, and what is its overall mission?
Sure. The Estuary Partnership was created in 1995 by the governors of Oregon and Washington, who saw concerns in the river after having formed a group called the Bi-State Water Quality Program, who worked for about 6 years looking at the problems in the river, studying the water quality, the sediment, the fish tissue, habitat loss, and issues related to that. And based on what they found and the degradation they saw, the governors formed the partnership, and we were nominated to and accepted into what is called the National Estuary Program. That program is administered by EPA, and it brings together a wide variety of community members with some technical support from the federal government at the beginning to help the local community identify what the problems are, and then more importantly, what as a local community we want to do to address those problems. So the partnership in our first 3 years spent a great deal of time talking to citizens, talking to various constituents, the recreational community, agricultural interest, forestry, the ports, and through our very large management committee at the time, we were able to develop a management plan that calls for 43 different actions to address the problems. And these are actions that we as local citizens feel are the right things to do to correct or redirect our efforts with the river and hopefully restore some of the quality that we need.
You know, before we continue, actually, perhaps why don't you give us your definition of estuary? I know that there was a program aired a couple of weeks ago here about the Tillamook. Tillamook, I guess, has the smallest estuary organization.
Yes. Well, scientifically, an estuary is where the salt water and fresh waters of a water body meet. In our case, in the Columbia's case, that's about 46 river miles in from the mouth. When Congress formed the National Estuary Program in 1987, they sort of redefined an estuary, I like to say, as only Congress can and scientists can't. And in the National Estuary Program, estuary can refer to the tidal influenced waters as well as the actual salt water intrusion portion of a river. So we go all the way up to Bonneville Dam, as you mentioned in the introduction, and we go up the tributaries to the tidally influenced headwaters. So on the Willamette, for instance, we go up, our study area takes us up to Oregon City.
It's a lot of water that you're engaged with.
It is, yes.
There are many people who are involved, many other organizations who are involved with river health, river restoration. And how does the Estuary Partnership fit in and work with these other organizations? I think we need kind of a master list almost of you know, who's doing what.
That's a great question. When we were doing our initial planning phase, we actually looked at how many different entities and agencies of government have some responsibility or activity in the lower river. We found over 160 agencies of government that have various management responsibilities, and we found over 2,000 nonprofit or civic organizations also working in the river. That includes all nonprofits, small, large. So one of the most important things that our governing bodies, our management committee and board, has said over the years is what the partnership needs to do is fill the gaps, not duplicate, and certainly not compete with all of those existing entities, but to, in fact, help support them and bring more resources and attention to the lower Columbia. So we have worked very hard to establish great relationships with, for instance, CREST, the Columbia River Estuary Study Task Force based in Astoria. They are one of our key partners. They're our on-the-ground eyes and ears and really delivery mechanism for a lot of the projects that we want to undertake. They help direct what we should be doing in that part of the river. They have all the great relationships with people, and entities like CREST know what the local issues are, so they can bring that discussion to the partnership as we are looking at the regional picture and how to make sure that the region is getting the focus and resources that it needs.
It really, when I guess when I think of the Estuary Partnership, I think of the of you as being of the larger, stable, kind of big daddy of them all, in a sense that you really have this big picture on the Lower Columbia, and you work with all these other smaller organizations to, whether it's organized tree plantings or monitoring or something. So would that be correct?
That's correct. And we also like to think we're able to access funding to come to the region that maybe some of them couldn't access or couldn't and don't want to build the capacity to have to manage. So we can bring the funds in and then direct them to them so they can use those funds to do the on-the-ground work.
And you're able to provide this funding because...
I think because we are a partnership and because we do work with those local interests and bring their interests to the table and to these potential funders. So we are a network. The partnership really is a network of all of those key organizations representing the issues and interests of the lower river communities.
And as a nonprofit 501c3, you receive your funding in what various ways?
We receive funding from a number of different sources. We are lucky enough to receive what we call our base funding from EPA as part of the National Estuary Program. It's a small portion of our budget, but it's probably the most important funding that we receive because it allows us then to leverage and raise other funds. And as part of that, the states have contributed and continue to support the partnership financially. We receive funding from Bonneville Power and the Northwest Power and Conservation Council, pursuant to the biological opinion, so we are helping them implement elements of that and recover fish. We've received funding from other federal entities for specific projects. We go after lots of different private sector funding, lots of foundation resources, and, of course, we invite and love our corporate and individual partners as well.
How do you feel about the future? I know you've had some incredible successes, and you feel very positive about the work that's being done. I mean, I know that when I talk with people about the Estuary Partnership, they say, wow, what a successful organization that is.
Well, thank you. I think we have been successful, and I think, again, it's because the partnership very carefully chose the word partnership in our name. We are the citizens. We are the entities of the Lower River. We like to say we are 22 board of directors. We're 21 staff people. We are 6 federal agencies. We are 2 states. We are about 20 nonprofit conservation organizations, 12 watershed councils. That's really who the partnership is. And it's because of that great coalition of people who are so dedicated to the river that we've been able to realize the successes that we have. All of those folks together, for example, have restored over 15,000 acres of habitat since 1999 or 2000. That's a huge amount of acreage. It's about half of what we've lost since settlement, so it's not the whole picture, it's not the whole objective that we want to meet, but it's a huge step forward in a very short period of time. We have done some pretty extensive monitoring with the United States Geological Survey and NOAA Fisheries, and have been able to ascertain what some of the contaminants are in the river and what some of those sources are. So we've made some great progress. We've done, a great job with our students. We've served over 100,000 students in the public schools and some private schools since 2000 when we started our programs. We've had summer camps actually based at Fort Clatsop. But, you know, those 100,000 kids that we've worked with represent only about 6% of the student population. And we know the contaminants are in the river. We know we need to remove them in order to have healthy and viable ports, to have healthy fish, to support Native American fish consumption and our fish consumption as an entire region. So the success of the partnership and this coalition of people has been great. We've been able to also identify what we need to do in the next 10 to 20 years. And I'm pretty optimistic that because of the commitment of so many people here to the river, we're going to be successful with that.
Deborah, when you are talking about restoring habitat, give us perhaps an example of how you will do that.
Well, some of the projects that we've funded, in particular at the lower end of the river, include a pretty extensive amount of work at Fort Clatsop, working to open wetlands and remove invasive species, open fish passageways over a number of different water bodies, removing dikes and removing berms. We've worked at Gray's River to do some road restoration work to reconnect floodplains. We've worked at Skamakaway to do some creek restoration, removing invasive species and retrofitting some culverts. A little bit further up at Hogan Ranch, we've done pretty extensive restoration work with the Scappoose Watershed Council there, helping them fence off wetlands and fence off the riparian habitat to keep the cattle where they need to be. We've worked also in Scappoose at Malarkey Ranch doing similar kinds of work, restoring some of the stream channel there.
When you say we, Deborah, are you speaking, because I know your staff, you have staff, which you have scientists on staff, you have people who are involved with the educational programs in the schools. How does the general public get involved in any, are there any volunteers who do any of this work?
Well, yes, that's a great question, Donna. When I say we are providing funds to local entities to implement those projects, and then we help with a little bit of technical assistance if we can. So we have funded CREST to do a number of those projects. We funded the Scappoose Watershed Council and the Columbia Land Trust. They are three of our major partners doing the on-the-ground work. We occasionally, at some of those projects, do use volunteers to help. More likely, volunteers are engaged in some of our other restoration projects at sites like Lacamas Creek or the refuge, where they go in with us and remove invasive species and plant native species. So over 26 different sites, I think, in our study area, we've had several thousand volunteers planting over about 28,000 trees, native trees and shrubs, in the last 9 years. And I think that the count is they've removed about 200 truckloads of invasive species, plant species.
That's really exciting. If you've just tuned in, you're listening to Talk of Our Towns. I'm your host, Donna Quinn, and today I'm speaking with Deborah Marriott. She is the executive director of the Lower Columbia River Estuary Partnership. We're calling it the Estuary Partnership. I know, Deborah, that you have a son who is in school and that one of the things that brings joy to your life is working with school children and these incredible educational opportunities that the Estuary Partnership offers. Could you explain a little bit about how that works?
I can. Thank you. One of our, we call it the third leg of our three-legged stool, is our stewardship program. And we have six educators who work with teachers to define what the teachers need for curriculum regarding the Columbia River. Sometimes it's about macroinvertebrates, plants, plant identification. Sometimes they're dissecting fish. Sometimes we're talking about history. And often we try to get the kids out on our large canoes to experience the river. Our goal is to really help build the stewards of tomorrow by giving the kids just good exposure to the Columbia River. It's always a surprise to me that a number of the kids that we take out on the river have never been to the river, even though they all live along the communities from Bonneville to the mouth. Many of the kids have not been not only near the river, but much less on the river. So one of our important tasks, I think, is to get kids exposed to the outdoors. There's something today called nature deficit disorder. There have been some studies done that show the kids that we're raising today are outside less. They're less comfortable in the outdoors. They are more fearful of the outdoors. So one of our goals is to get them out, to understand it, to know what's around them, know what the trees are, what the plants are, how the river works, what water quality is all about, so they're comfortable out there. And we think by doing that, we'll be giving them a good basis to make informed decisions when they get to be the decision makers and voters in the future.
Actually, your website, which I would like you to tell people how to reach you, your website has an online store, and I know you have calendars, which the children create artwork, and they're really delightful. I mean, and some of the comments of these children, like, I didn't know that beavers, you know, I didn't understand about, now I do, it's so exciting. I mean, that must be really part of the rewarding, I guess that's what you do that really feeds you and nourishes you.
It's very exciting, and that is what keeps us going. I've been in schools recently where I've asked an assembly what an estuary is, and after our educators have spent several years with these kids, the entire assembly raises their hand. That's pretty good, because a lot of us as adults are still struggling with what an estuary is or don't know exactly what the definition is. So it's great to see a whole generation of kids understanding that and feeling excited that they know what it is. And we do invite the students in our that we work with to submit artwork through our art contest that will be kicking off in a few months. And we have used their artwork in calendars. And my great communications team right now is thinking about other exciting ways that we can use the art and creative submissions from the students this year.
Deborah, when you talk about the three-legged stool, that the Estuary Partnership has, there are three prongs, so to speak, to the mission. Mm-hmm. Let's just briefly go over those three again so that maybe the listening audience can say, there's that, you know, elevator speech idea. Okay, what does the Estuary Partnership do? Well, there are three main areas they focus on.
That's right. The partnership focuses on stewardship, and to do that, we have focused mainly on students and involving students and engaging volunteers in active hands-on restoration work. A second leg is our focus on contaminants and reducing toxic contaminants and pollution in the river. And we do that by working very hard to establish a long-term monitoring program so we can know what's coming in the river, where it's going, and how it's affecting species as well as including humans, and then direct some actions to reduce or eliminate those toxics. And the third leg of our stool is our habitat restoration program. And our focus there is to realize a net gain in habitat over time. And we've been successful in restoring with our partners, as I said, over 15,000 acres. And we've developed a number of different pieces of science to help advance that, again, with our partners, University of Washington and USGS and NOAA. We've developed a classification system for habitat, so we can actually start working with our partners to identify the highest priority habitat and where resources need to go for what types of restoration activities.
So if someone said to you, what is the health of the Columbia River estuary like today? It's obviously much better because of all the work that you all have been doing and all of your partners, such as CREST and these other organizations who are right here, hands-on on the ground. What would you say about how the river is today and what you are looking forward to doing with the river in this year of 2010?
I think the Columbia is an interesting system because it's so big and there's so much water that it carries. It's the second highest volume of flow of any river in the United States. It's deceptive. And in fact, when we started, a lot of people thought there were no problems and that it had enough water to kind of take care of and wash out the problems, if you will. In fact, we know there are issues that we're working with. It's not a water body that when you look out, you can say, oh my gosh, it's full of problems and we really need to put some resources on it. Sometimes that's a challenge because people can't see the problems and you have to really work to convince various funders and members of Congress and all those folks to pay attention to it. As we said, habitat loss is huge. When the fish that need to use the river don't have places to stop and spawn and spend the time they need to spend during their life cycle, then they are not going to be fruitful. And as a result, we have 13 species that are listed as threatened or endangered that use the lower river. And we have been fortunate enough to receive money from Congress and other sources to do some, and Bonneville Power and the Power Council to look at some of the contaminants in the river. That needs to be expanded. That's one area where we have been able to do some great one-time studies. And by we, I mean the partnership and a number of different entities, EPA, a number of federal and state entities. The states do an excellent job and have really increased their effort in recent years on the tributaries. So we really need to match that effort on the Columbia and get a handle on what the toxics are and what we can do about them and get some actions in place to really reduce or hopefully eliminate some of the contaminants. A lot of the new contaminants coming in are affecting the hormone balance with fish, which affects their predation abilities, their survivability, long-term survivability issues. So, you know, there are old problems out there. There's still some of that DDT and DDE hanging around in the system. That's not good. And then there are new contaminants coming in that we need to be focused on and looking at ways that we can reduce and remove those.
Are any of the challenges that the Columbia River estuary faces similar to those that, let's say, Chesapeake Bay, because obviously that is huge, that gets a lot of press. When you think about the East Coast, you think about Chesapeake Bay. When you think about the West Coast, I think you think about the Columbia River. Mm-hmm. Any similarities there, Deborah?
You know, there are actually 28 national estuary programs in the country. We are one. Tillamook is one. Chesapeake is the granddaddy of them all. They were organized and doing about the same things the National Estuary Program was doing and formed the model for the National Estuary Program. Each of those 28 programs and the Chesapeake and the Great Lakes have similar issues. I think we're all looking at habitat loss as a key issue. And then we have various issues with different contaminants. Nutrient loading is a very big problem with the Chesapeake and some of the East Coast estuaries. Some of the species that we consider invasive here are actually native there and vice versa. So we all have invasive species issues, but they're not the same species. So there are a lot of similarities. We actually, as a network, work together a lot and share information and ideas on how we're addressing different problems. But they're each unique. Each water system has its own population of people that love it and adore it and need to have it healthy. And we each have our slight variations on the environmental problems that we're looking at.
More and more people are beginning to realize no water, no life. Water is life. Mm-hmm. The river is so vitally important, our river systems. We only have a few minutes left here, Deborah, but it feels to me, whenever I've spoken with you in the past, that you are very positive about the future, very positive about the work that's being done. And so with the last couple of minutes that we have left here, what else would you like our listening audience to know about?
Well, I think we have a lot to be thankful for here. We have a congressional delegation and representatives from both states who live in these areas who are just every day fighting to make sure we get more resources and continue the resources we have. We have a population of citizens here that I think is second to none in the world in terms of their care and love for the resource that is in front of us every day. I think that kind of support and strength is what will what keeps me positive and what has given us the results that we've had to date. The problems will be tough. Some of the things that we're facing are we're going to talk about pharmaceuticals and how we're each individually disposing of those and how we drive our automobiles and the exhaust that we're seeing from those. We're starting to get down to the personal stuff, and I think that we're ready as a citizenry to start saying, what shampoos should I be buying? What ingredients are safe in my shampoo, or how do I dispose of these unused prescriptions? So I think we're well poised with a citizenry that just loves this river and is ready to do what they can do to improve it. We have great support from the people in Congress and the decision makers and in the state legislatures who also want to support what we're doing. And we've made progress, which always helps. It helps to see that you put some effort into something and you're going to get some results. So I think the challenges ahead are big. The toxic contaminants are not easy things to deal with. But I think we are positioned well to address them.
That's great, Deborah. And I know that you are going to have some tree plantings coming up in the spring, so we'll have another program talking about what's going to be going on in this Lower Columbia River region and very exciting things about what people can do in their personal lives which will have a positive effect on the Columbia River and all of the waterways that we live with and appreciate so much.
Great.
Thank you for being on the program today and for all the good work that you're doing. And if people want to visit the Columbia River Estuary Partnership, Deborah, why don't you just tell them how they can do that?
Probably the easiest way is to our website. It's www.lcrep.org. That stands for Lower Columbia River Estuary Partnership.org, our initials. We'd love to have you connect that way. It gives you all our phone numbers and who we all are and how to reach all of the staff and all of the activities that we're doing. And that's where we post all the upcoming opportunities for citizens to get out and paddle or help clean up or have some fun on the river.
It's the love of the Columbia River that unites everyone who lives in this region, that's for sure.
Oh, it absolutely is. It's such a beautiful, magnificent water body. We're just very lucky to be here.
Thank you so much and all the good staff at the Lower Columbia River Estuary Partnership. And we will let you go on to your day now. And again, great work that you all are doing. And we all appreciate it here in the estuary, living right here in Astoria. But the Columbia River really belongs to everyone. It is a national treasure.
Thank you very much, Donna.
All right. Talk to you soon. Take care. Bye-bye now.
Thanks. Bye.
I want to thank all of you who listen to Talk of Our Towns, which airs each Wednesday morning. And thank you, Terry Wilson, our engineer extraordinaire, and local talented banjo instructor Michael Bruin for his original theme music for this program. You can also listen to this again this evening at 8:30 p.m. on KCPB 90.9. And it is you can also download it on the web at coastradio.org. Until next week. Find a moment for yourself today. Take a deep breath with gratitude for all the good things in your life and focus on those good things, expand them, and then give yourself a loving and compassionate hug or a pat on the back for being uniquely you, for doing the best you can, and for being here now in this moment on the amazing planet we call Earth.